Hello, this is the Angry GM, and what you're now listening to is the supplemental Q&A portion following the live proofread aloud recording of the Ask Angry April 2024 mailbag, which I have just finished recording for those who decided to gather impromptu in my studio and who now want to ask questions or make comments. And I am just waiting for some questions or comments to be made or asked, to which I will then respond, unless they're not good, in which case I'm just going to ignore them. Great Foolish Kate says, Kate asks, misspelled Kate, what do you think of starting a new campaign in Medias Res? I.e., you start a battle... I know what in Medias Res is. Thank you very much. You start a battle within a battle or an action or scene of some kind. I don't know. That's fine. I don't know what it has to do with today's article, but sure. I mean, that works too. Okay, Quizzle asks, could you give us some tips for starting campaigns where the player characters all know each other? Is there a good amount of information for them to get about one another? Again, the whole point of these Q&As is to ask questions about the article that I just read and wrote, and that is not a question about the article. In fact, that's the sort of thing that would make a very excellent Ask Angry question, or could be a proposal for a future pick your own topic thing. I'll give you a tip, and I'm going to give the same tip that I've written many, many times about it. Don't try to start a game where the player characters all know each other, because you cannot have organic relationships grow that way. I am totally opposed to the idea. I mean, if you insist on doing it, like, you know, how can I do this terrible thing better? This is another one of those questions, like, I've been considering infecting myself with irritable bowel syndrome. Can you give me some dietary tips so that I can live an almost normal life if I make that choice? I could probably think of something, but not on the spot. That seems like the sort of thing that should be mailed in if I ever do another mailbag. Ice Bear asks, and I really like this one, do you purposely choose people who fail to read instructions, or is it just that bad? It's just that bad. It honestly is. It's like every other email I get is either three paragraphs of text, and I pop open the email, right? I go through, if I decide I'm going to do a mailbag, I don't read many of the emails in advance. I have them go to a separate mailbox, and then when I know I'm going to do a mailbag, I pop it open and I just skim through for things that I think would make for a good mailbag, things I actually want to write about. So the thing is, as I have the preview pane open so I can see the email, and I just tap between one and the next and the next. So if I look at one and it's a wall of text and I can't see the question with a glance, I'm already skipping it, okay? But then too, it's like, there are reasons why, I'm going to go into this because nobody's typing any of the questions anyway. So I'm going to talk about all the logic of this because I did get blasted recently by someone who will remain nameless for yelling at people for not being clear when I also yell at them to be brief, as if the reason you can't be clear is because I don't give you enough of a word count, because obviously brevity and clarity are opposites, which is a stupid thing to say. But nonetheless, I did get blasted for insisting on brevity. Okay. One of the reasons I insist on brevity is because I am looking for questions that I can find an interesting way to write about that I think will allow me to give useful general advice to many, many people. The more words you use, the more specific you're being. So if it takes you more than a sentence or two to ask a question, you're asking a question that does not make for a good question. You know, you're putting too many constraints and barriers up, and you're trying to pin me in too much. Okay. I need some freedom to actually work, to work within that framework and also produce something I think is going to be interesting to, tens of thousands of people other than just the person who wrote the email. Okay. And one of the things I have found is that that is inversely correlated to word count. The less words you write, the more interesting the thing is going to be. The next thing is obviously it's much easier for me to scroll through and quickly pick out 3 to 5 questions to ask if I don't have to read 3 paragraphs for each question. The other thing is that there's a lot of questions that are masquerading as people wanting to write their own blog on my site. Like people who will say, you know, it's like I got a question. No, I'm not going to use a specific example. I'm not going to call anyone out. But it's like a thing. Someone will ask me a simple question like, what do you think of this game? And then they will go on because I found this game, blah, 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 blah. And then they will write me a 3-paragraph review of the game because what they really are interested in is not my opinion, but my justifying their opinion or my giving them a platform for their opinion. Okay, everybody wants to be a critic. Everybody wants to be a reviewer. Everyone wants to do a rant. And, like, that's fine. I don't begrudge anyone that. Anybody can go out and buy a website and just and put out rants. And, you know, if they're interesting and fun to read, people will read them. But this is my website. My point is not, well, obviously my point is so that I can rant. But my bigger point is actually to give useful information, not to give you a platform for your opinion. And oftentimes people will pen me into, like, there will be questions that are obviously very clearly trying to lead me to a very specific answer. You know, there's a lot of cases where people are trying to make me justify their actions so that they could turn around and go to their players and say, see guys, I was right. Or go to their GM and say, see, this asshole on the internet says you're wrong. So yeah, brevity and just like ignoring long questions goes a lot toward culling that stuff out. I wasn't kidding in the article when I said I do have major concerns about the whole doxing thing and privacy regulations and stuff, where if you use a piece of personal information that someone doesn't explicitly give you permission to, people will freak out, especially if in the same breath you call them a dumbass and rip them apart, as I tend to do. Because if you send an email to Ask Angry, you're basically inviting me to abuse you. That's the cost of getting an answer. And I've talked about that before. I'm happy to abuse the person who sent me the question. I am not happy to abuse their players or their game master or anyone else, though. I learned that the hard way not too long ago. So I do want something that does expressly say, here is the name you are legally allowed to call me, so that in the weird, rare event, somebody does flip out and decide that, well, you know, I have disagreed with them, so they no longer consent, and try to make a stink about it, I at least have something that I can show, well, their express intention was to allow me to use that name. And if somebody does not give me something that I think would be interpreted as that sort of permission, I'm not going to use the name. I'm going to make something else up. You know, I do that for calculated reasons, obviously, because the internet is a shitty, shitty place to live now. And everybody's always trying to destroy everyone. Any excuse. So anyway, that's it. Seriously, it is that bad. It is every other question I get these days is just not. And the thing is, like, I don't want... Like, if there's a good question or one that I really want to answer, and someone keeps starting to type and then stopping again, I really am waiting for another question to come in so that I can end this and stop rambling about this. So here we have a question that is, not only is this not a question about the feature, but it is also a question that I'm pretty sure was sent to me through some other channel. Speaking of interrupting pushing players while they're over planning, how should we handle players who interject your narration or throw in, oh, by the way, I did this while we did X? Wait a minute. That lost the vote for the you picked the topic disaster last month, didn't that? So, yeah, like, what am I supposed to do? Okay. How do you handle anyone interrupting you? Okay. Oh my goodness. This is basic public speaking here. Okay. If you're like running a class or doing a seminar or giving a speech, how do you handle an interruption? You handle it, you know, the step one is just to steamroll. Okay. You just keep talking. You ignore the person who is over talking you. You can't take that too far and you can't escalate too much. Because if you do that, then that encourages them to speak louder and then you speak louder and then they speak louder and that becomes a war. So you can't do that too much. But the first step is just not to let them interrupt you. If I am delivering exposition or I am setting the scene and a player interrupts with something, I keep talking and raise my voice a little bit to shut that player up. I'm talking, you can talk when I'm done. If that doesn't work, the next step is to stop the person and say, I'm sorry, I'm setting the scene. Please let me finish, and then I'll be glad to hear whatever you say. That's the next thing. The third step, if that step doesn't work, is please leave my table, you're being an ass. That's it. People will do it. And like, so that's it. Oh, and as far as the, oh, by the way, I did this while we did X, the answer to there, that is no, you didn't, because for you to do any, because I don't remember resolving that. And nothing happens until I have resolved it. Until then, it's just an action declaration in your head, you know? And if somebody does want to say like, oh, while that was happening, I want to do that. Then you can always go back and say, okay, then, you know, while that is, you know, you can resolve it then and then reset the scene to account for that. You know, there's nothing that says that you have to say no, if it's reasonable. If you find your players frequently doing that, you may be over narrating, because one of the keys to narrating is also, you know, don't narrate, don't freeze the world to deliver your narration. Like, you know, you can't let too many actions happen in the span of your narration, because the players should, like, if the players have a reasonable chance to respond to it, you should be giving them the chance to respond to it. So if you have players who are frequently trying to take action in response to things that are happening, you're probably not pausing enough to let your players act. And now, because I feel bad, I'm going to go back to Great Foolish Misspelled Kate's question, because I just answered another question that had nothing to do with the article, but that's all I'm going to get. And I've got another like 10 minutes or something. So what do I think of starting a campaign in medias res? Like, honestly, I don't know how to answer that. Actually, yeah, that's the problem, is I don't really know how to answer that. What do I think about it? It's fine. Like, what is the point of that question? Okay, is the question asking me to say, well, that's the greatest way to start a campaign, or that's the best way to start a campaign, or you should always start a campaign that way? Or are you trying to get me to say, no, you should never start a campaign that way? Because if it's not either of those two answers, it's just, I think that's also a way that the campaign can start. Like, there are many, many ways to start a campaign. Starting in medias res is one of them. And it is suitable for some campaigns and not for others. And if you do it, you know, do it deliberately and, you know, do it with reason. If that's not the right start for your campaign, don't do it. If it is the right start for your campaign, do it. There's not like this long speech I can give about it and the benefits. And I guess I could talk the benefits and the shortcomings of it. I feel like I've done this before, but in general, you should start a campaign in a way that sets the tone for the campaign. Now, I am absolutely terrible about doing this. Also, I am terrible about doing the things that I talked about in this article, especially in my online games. And I know some of my players will be listening to this, and they will be saying, Angry lets us talk for 2 hours about our plans and what we think is going on. He never interrupts us or interjects. He just kind of lets us go. And he lets us start our game, our campaigns with interaction all the time. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. And yes, there are reasons for that, but mostly my reasons are that at the end of the day, number one, I suck at this. And number two, I'm running an online game, so who gives a shit? There's no saving it anyway. But really, the key is, and honestly, number three is that there's a lot more nuance to what I do than what I say here. I'm giving general advice, but, you know. But in general, you want to start a campaign with whatever it is the campaign's going to be about, or wherever you see the campaign ending. You know, so if you're running a campaign that is about action, you should start or feature some action very early. Of course, I have to be careful because I say start and everybody will always hear, oh, that means you have to, like, the first scene has to be whatever. Okay. The thing is that the first thing you need to do in a campaign is you need to introduce the, you need to get the ground the players in the game. And you need to introduce the characters. Okay, that has to be done. You can do that in Mady's Race, but it isn't as, you know, but honestly, however you do it is going to be awkward. So like the clunky sort of artificial transition from setting the scene into playing the game where everybody just sort of arrives at the inn and then everybody gets to the chance to describe their character coming through the door. And then there's a little bit of interaction with the innkeeper where the innkeeper, oh yes, well, there's been trouble with goblins in the ruins to the west. And gosh, I sure do wish some brave heroes would go clear them out, sort of a thing. I mean, yeah, is that clunky and artificial and contrived? Yes, but it doesn't matter because it gets the job done. And however you get the job done, it's going to be clunky and artificial and contrived. So... like, if you want to start with action, like, direct, like, okay, you guys roll initiative because you're in battle. Or, I mean, and obviously you wouldn't do something like that. You would be something like, you were traveling along the road. You've been traveling along the road between here and here for several days when all of the sudden bandits accost you. And, you know, Adam leaps forward and what does he do? And, you know, and then you run your first scene of action, whatever it is. You can start that way, but then you have skipped the introduction phase, and you can try to work the introduction into the action, but then you're going to bleed all the tension out of the action by doing that, where you describe Adam, you know, describe your character and then tell us what action you take. I mean, it's going to come all down to execution, and that comes down to what I said in the article. The clearest truth of game mastering is this: what you write and what you design and what you plan is not where your game gets great. Okay. You should do it. Planning and preparing and having an end goal in mind and having, you know, and setting goals and structuring your game. Those are all good things that absolutely should be done. You should not just be pulling a game out of your ass. I don't care what anyone says. Okay. Don't just pull a game out of your ass if you have any option to ignore, to avoid doing that. Okay, have a plan, have a goal, figure some things out, structure your game, be a friggin' game designer. You're running a game. You're not running an improv theater. So be a game designer, design a game. But keep in mind that what's going to make that game great is how you execute it. Okay, how you keep it running, how you present it. You know, you can start your campaign with action and do it terribly. You can start your campaign with action and do it great. It doesn't matter that you started the campaign with action. What matters is how you started it out and how that figures into everything else you're going to run in that campaign. Okay. And I think that puts me pretty close to the time. So there, I answered some questions that have absolutely nothing to do with this feature and did a rant about people's terrible emails, and that's good enough. So I'm calling it done.